Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, and thanks for asking. Well, today in the Voice of Yoga, what we'd like to do is we're going to talk about the second stage of Kriya Yoga, Niyama, and the first Niyama is Shaucha or purity. If you are aspiring for the goal of Kriya Yoga, total consciousness, you must be pure. This show is about consciousness and not simply cleansing the body, making the body a goal, but a guide in using the body as a springboard to higher states of awareness. Listen as we discuss the prerequisite for transformation. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to experience the perfection of being. Well, Swami, it sounds like we have a lot to talk about today. So why don't you get started and just explain to our listeners, what is Niyama?
Niyama is the second stage of yoga, and there are five of them. And the first one is Shaucha, which is purification or purity. And then there is tapas, austerity, contentment, santosha, svadhyaya, which is sacred study or self-study, and then ishva, pranidhana, which is attunement to the absolute. And we're going to focus on the best detox suggestion for 2019, which is going to be a little bit different, I think, than what most people are doing, because we're really trying to prepare ourselves for a shift in consciousness that will help us transcend the law of karma, which will help us transcend the cycle of death and rebirth, which is a very different goal and objective than what most people are detoxing for, trying to look younger, live longer, and making their body a goal. Where in this model, the body is only the means, and we use the body to give us clues as to what's going on in my consciousness, what's my level of consciousness, what's my degree of awareness.
So I understand what you're saying about that kind of physical detox, and what we're talking about is consciousness here. But don't we have to treat the body and train the body, so to speak, to be able to hold spirit? And so in order to do that, we do actually have to physically detox the body?
Well, theoretically, everything is already spirit. Body is really just a belief, and it's a false sense of existence. And that's what I think is a little bit different about what we're talking about. I think there's a lot of people out there that believe that you can spiritualize matter, where in fact, matter really is part of the illusion. It's not real. And one of the things that we want to try and purge ourselves of is the belief in matter, period. And so if you think that you can spiritualize matter, if you think life is in matter, then it becomes a huge barrier to the process of transformation, of transcending the limited perspective of body-bound awareness.
Well, let's get back and talk about Niyama as the first one, which you said was Shaucha, which means purity. So what do we actually mean by that, by purity, and maybe even a better description of what Shaucha means?
Yeah, in Kriya Yoga, we break it down into three levels of purity. Physical level, which physical purification is to really to comply with a diet that supports ahimsa or non-injury, which is your first yama, which is the first stage of yoga. So you really want to try and work with this. It's also in, it's in harmony with the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And in Kriya Yoga, we do recommend, have a recommendation for diet, and your primary source of nourishment would be foods that get their nourishment from the sun, which would be fruits, vegetables, grains, seeds, nuts, legumes, and of course to stay away from any kind of processed or refined foods that have been tampered with. And then your secondary source of nourishment would be to eat animals that get their nourishment from foods that get their nourishment from the sun. And your third choice would be animals that eat other animals. And so in this framework, you kind of have a guideline for how you want to nurture yourself with food. But to stay with your primary source of nourishment is to comply with your first yama, non-injury. So really, you want to have a vegetarian diet. Then mental purification is also the next octave of the process. And purification in yoga mentally is your ability to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And that's what we call purity of thought. Because most of us, we say one thing, we do something completely different, and chances are we feel something alien to the two above. So that's what we would call scattered or impure thought. And the next octave of purification on a mental level is to purify ourselves of all of our erroneous concepts, beliefs, and human theories, which really kind of bogs us down. And then the last phase of it is spiritual purification, which is purging yourself of self-will and personal desire and any type of personal ambition.
Now, do those have to be done in any kind of an order? Or, like, is it better to do the physical before the mental? And do you have to have those two in place before you do the spiritual?
Well, I think they all work together, because I really think if you grasp the concept and you understand the intention of the practice, which is really kind of concentrated in your fifth yama, brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman, which in order for us to join with the life force, this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, we really have to, and I love the way the Bible says it, we must ask in my name. We have to bring ourselves to the frequency of spirit. And that's where working with yourself physically, mentally, changes the vibration that you resonate to so that you can be receptive to this invisible, intangible source. Yeah, so as far as any kind of sequence or order, you really need it all. That it's an all or nothing venture. You can't be a little bit spiritual. You don't get spirit in parts. You can't divide spirit. It is whole, it is complete. The only thing that can happen in parts is our revelation of it, our realization of it is kind of an unfolding. But spirit is the finished kingdom of heaven now. God's creation is whole, perfect, and it doesn't need anything done to it.
So in the opening, we said that if you're aspiring for the goal of Kriya Yoga, which is total consciousness, you must be pure. So in the new saying earlier about mental purification is letting go of erroneous concepts, beliefs, and human theories. And I imagine that would also mean thoughts, like not having any, I guess for lack of a better word, bad thoughts. And if that's the case, then we could be in trouble.
Yeah, because as you're trying to move through this process in yoga, you're going to come to the fifth stage, which is pratyahara. And pratyahara means sense withdrawal. And so as you're starting to work through these concepts, beliefs, and human theories, you're going to find that the testimony of your senses is avidya. It's ignorance. Anything that is reported in your five-sense mind is duality, and it comes under the law of karma. So if we have a belief in matter, that becomes a barrier to you having a belief in this Ishva Pranidhana, which is the absolute. And you can't move beyond the law of karma unless you purge yourself of any iota of a belief in it.
So getting back to about being pure to achieve this total consciousness, let's talk about what's entailed with the physical purity.
Yeah, physical purification, really, you have to purge yourself of any unnecessary cravings and disturbances. So foods that produce cravings, things like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, refined sugars, foods that are high in salt content, anything that will produce a craving for itself will put you at a frequency that will not allow you to accept or be at the same resonance for this invisible, intangible, this very subtle, sublime source of sustenance. Because you'll be at a higher frequency and you will desire things that are visible and tangible or invisible but tangible. And you won't have attention for what is invisible and intangible.
Swami, in the opening, we have written to use the body as a springboard to higher states of awareness. So I'm wondering if you could maybe give us a bit more detail on that.
Yeah, as we start to understand ourselves and we start to understand levels of consciousness, and we have been talking about this a little bit in earlier shows, that our modes of thinking, that when you are in your lower mind, you're dealing with instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. And this has a tremendous amount of power to it. Or even though it is a false sense of power, you can use that energy, desire, as a springboard to get you into your higher states of consciousness. And the way that we do it is kind of like tricking your body. The physical body is like a monkey. And a monkey won't let go of one branch unless it has another branch in the other hand. So by us working with the physical body and training our bodies to look for something other than food, mother, or approval, or even thoughts and concepts and beliefs and ideas, but to look for this invisible, intangible life force. And you can actually become addicted to that. And that kind of gives you the leverage that will motivate you to get out of the limited sense of body-bound awareness.
So it seems to me that the body as a springboard to these higher states of awareness would be one of those prerequisites for a transformation that we talked about in the opening.
Right. And especially the way that we understand even the term transform, to go through the physical, to go beyond physical. that the body becomes your means and actually even your human mind becomes a compass to be able to use the information that you're getting from false sense of existence to be able to validate that what you're doing is truth. Because we're trying to connect with something that's invisible, intangible. And how do you know that what it is that you think this life force is gonna give you the return that you're looking for if you're not using the external information to validate what it is that you're doing? So in other words, if you're moving from the law of karma, which is a belief in two powers, and it's all about changing finite bad to finite good, and you're moving into a dimension that is going to be under the government of divine law, which is not a mix of good and evil, but absolute goodness. Because you could be in finite good and getting a pretty good return, but it's not going to be the same as being in absolute good and eternal goodness.
All right, well, let's pause right here to hear a message from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I know that you're always saying how we think is what we become. So I'm wondering if you can let us know, what does that have to do with the mental purity that we talked about earlier?
Working with modes of thinking and recognizing that we have a goal here, total consciousness. Our original state of consciousness really is mostly rooted in preservation and survival. It is the flight, fright, instinctual response that we all have a physical body which has needs, and it lives in chronic anxiety and it lives in fear, and that's what motivates it. And so we have to understand that if we continue to live at that level of consciousness, we are not growing psychologically and spiritually. That we have to start to evolve and grow. And that's where you mark out points of passage, rites of passage. And When you're moving from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, the next layer of that, the next jump up, would be the mid-mind, which would be human intelligence, where you're working with your mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. But remember, this is the testimony of your senses. You're still getting all your information from duality, which is a reality that is apart from spirit or unity. Then the next layer, the next point of passage is we have to figure out the collective consciousness. We have to figure out that we are being individualized from the world mind. And how do we know this is because we are in a finite sense of self. And then finally, the understanding, the recognition of divine mind. Divine mind is perfect creation. It is Aham Brahmasmi. It is the creative principle of this universe. And it is divine intelligence. It is perfect. It is whole. It is harmonious, peaceful, well, eternal, unchanging. That is what we want to try and start to think out from. And in order for us to get to this level of awareness, this mode of thinking, we must purify ourselves of all these erroneous concepts and beliefs and human thinking and human theories that we have, until eventually we can let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being.
Can you give us an example of what you would consider would be an erroneous belief?
Well, we could start with something as simple as sickness. Mm-hmm. Sickness is a belief in something other than the divine. Aham Brahmasmi, the creative principle of this universe, is pure, absolute goodness. Spirit does not create anything that is unlike itself. So this fall from Eden in the Bible is an acceptance of a reality that is apart from this unified state. And it's under different rules and it's under different laws, but it is not self-existent. The only thing that perpetuates it, the only thing that gives it the appearance of having any power at all, is belief in it. And that's one of the things that we have been saying all along, that belief is what gives thought the power of intention. But if you believe in sickness, suffering, death, then that is where you remain. You remain in the cycle of death and rebirth. But if you want to get out of it, this thing called liberation, you are going to have to recognize that there are higher laws than the law of karma. And the divine law of life is the belief in one power. There is no competition. There is no conflict. It is a completely different mode of operation. It's a completely different dimension of reality that is under different guidelines and rules. It's whole, it's complete, it's absolute. It doesn't report in a five-sense mind. And that's why the fifth stage of yoga, pratyahara, sense withdrawal, we must move beyond the testimony of our senses and start to understand the presence of this divine law, which is the divine law of life. But if we continue to accept the testimony of our senses, we believe in sin, sickness, suffering, and death because that's what's showing up. But that's the law of karma. Divine law doesn't report in the five-sense mind, and you have to move beyond the testimony of the senses in order to gain spiritual understanding. Soul sense, to start to see reality as it truly is in its finished product.
So I think you're saying that, so say somebody has a pain in their knee. So every time they take a step, they have this pain. That's a testimony of their sense because they can feel it, which is a sense. So they need to try to get past that and understand that that's not really there. Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's exactly what we're saying. And you don't want to try and fake it until you make it. But in reality, you want to mind it until you find it. See, we are perfectly healthy, eternal, spiritual beings. We're not a physical body that has a mind and perchance a soul. Basically, what we're trying to do is wake up in our divine likeness, which means that we are no longer in a reality that is a mix of good and evil, life and death, right and wrong, but we are in a reality that is absolute life, eternal life, health, happiness, wholeness.
So I think we should talk now about the spiritual purification, which you have in your notes, which is purging of self-will and personal desire. So what does that look like when we're doing it? But how do we do it too?
Yeah, what we're basically doing here is we are assuming a different identity. We're moving beyond the limits of seeing ourselves as a physical, mortal, corporeal body, and we are starting to identify with ourselves as spirit. And so in the framework of doing this, we have to kind of let go of a personal sense of I so we can accept this impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. And in the framework of doing this, we're giving up personal will. But at the same time, what we are starting to do is live under divine law. We start to let spirit exercise its will over us. Let spirit live us. And that ensures that we remain on track because spirit holds the template for perfect creation. And in the Bible, it makes a statement, take no thought for thine own self. And when you look around and you see, how many of us are practicing positive thinking, which is kind of in violation to divine law, positive thinking, using personal will, personal ambition, personal desire as your springboard or motivator, without giving up your personal sense of I, you remain in the law of karma. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law of karma, but you're trapped. At the very best, what you can do is change finite bad to finite good. But you are still in a finite sense of existence, which is a false sense of existence. Because spirit didn't create anything that is not eternal.
Well, I think it's about that time we have to start closing down our program for this morning. So I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. You'll find this show as well as other shows listed there for your learning experiences under Swami Says Recent Posts on the homepage. And I also want to remind you also that Swami does have a free webinar Wednesdays at noon. And Swami, can you tell our listeners how to get there?
Yeah, sure. If you go to the website, on any page, you'll see a button for online classes. If you click that on, it will take you to our online class page. And if you scroll down to where it says Pray on Prana, you can click that button on. It will take you to the Zoom landing page where you can register for the webinar.
All right, great. And so I also want to remind listeners that you also have a Facebook page for Samadhi Seekers, and that's open for people to join up as well, correct?
Sure. If you're interested in what we're talking about, that would be great.
So, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to purge themselves of all of the barriers that we have created, the veil that prevents us from seeing the perfection of our own being. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Well, thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.